This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. Beware, IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me today, Justin Davis, Scoop. Brian Altano,
Rap.
Greg Miller.
Hey!
We have so much to talk about today. We gotta
including
talk about
what the heck happened to you?
Those Assassin's Creed. We gotta talk about Majora's Mask coming to 3DS. But our lead story this week, I'm alive. I'm not dead.
Collarbone Scoop.
I'm still here. In case you missed it, I had an accident on my scooter a couple weeks ago, broke my collarbone, was out for a week, had surgery. They put a metal plate and some screws in here now, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm on the mend.
Damon,
mm-hmm.
Can you still play video games?
Yep. I can just sit on my couch like this, and I hold the controller in my lap, and I've been playing a lot of Sunset Overdrive.
Great.
And Spelunky, and Guacamelee,
actually. Oh, Guacamelee, nice.
First time playing that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really fantastic. Really yeah.
And of course, I can lay in bed and play Hearthstone on my iPad, no problem.
So what basically, this has done nothing to your life.
Yeah, it was really nice. I had a lot more time to play games than I do when I'm here in the office. So,
what do you think your doctor would say? Would he be?
They probably wouldn't want me because it's all connected. You know, like I'm like
the hip bone is connected.
I'm like mashing the X button and it's connected
it's
to
doing
my
all kinds of stuff up here.
Yeah, it's just like the screws are just like falling apart.
Like, what have you been doing?
They're all down here now.
So do you think a big part of being a host at IGN is hand gestures, Damon?
Yeah, when you're hired, you go through an extensive hand gesture training.
We've had to turn down so many people because they're great at speaking, but they just stand there like they don't know what to do.
Hands in the pockets, don't move. Yeah. It's a mess.
No.
Do you feel like it's going to influence your ability to host the news?
Well, so I've been hosting news videos with my hoodie, and I just stick my right hand in my pocket.
Ooh.
So hopefully it's not too conspicuous.
Did you give away a secret?
Yeah.
That's a deep cut here for GameScoop fans.
That's like Bob Dole. He always had he did the thing.
I'm pretty much like Bob Dole.
You know what you should do?
Of video game journalism.
You should get a big shirt with a fake arm hand, and you could just rest it on the side. And you're like, hello and welcome to GameScoop. And then the other one's there, and then we could have somebody with a string that's just like.
That's what I was going to say. We could have somebody behind him, and we could weaken at Bernie's it.
Yeah. Perfect. I love it.
With just his arm, his dead arm.
Let's go get a bank loan.
Arm's not dead. Arm's still alive. Don't try to take it away from me. Anyway, I'm happy to be back. Happy to see you guys.
Welcome back.
We're glad you're okay.
We missed you.
We're all very worried.
Happy to be back here with all of you viewers and listeners. Last week was an unfortunate week for me to be out. I just felt like there was a lot of news happening. The name of the new Star Wars film, The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? This Majora's Mask news. But first, let's talk about news this week that I'm super excited about. Just Cause 3. This is something...
Applause!
Yeah. It's exciting. Finally, Just
Cause
3.
That's messed up because he can't do that.
Well, hey, Damon, remember this? I remember doing this.
You idiot. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I can do like a polite, like.
You can do the golf clap.
That's good.
Just Cause 3.
You did a good job, but not great.
Good, not great.
I'm super excited about this.
had a good idea that this was coming for a while. There's been lots of teases that developer Avalanche is working on this. Just Cause 2, one of the most fun games of last generation, maybe an underappreciated game.
I would say so.
Yeah. It got its due. I picked it up on a Steam sale for like, you know, $3 or something like that. And I feel like that's how a lot of people kind of discovered that game a couple years after the fact.
Ryan Clement's big fan, I remember. He was one preacher from the mountaintop, wasn't he? I don't know. I don't read anything on IGN. I just talk to people.
R.I.P. in peace.
The first Just Cause was...
Rest in peace, peace.
It was a last-gen launch game, or at least it was. It came out in 2006, so it was very near
it's
the launch.
It's that old?
Yeah, the first Just Cause.
Oh, the first one, okay.
The first one, yeah. And then Just Cause 2 was like 2010, I want to say.
Makes more sense, yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. It takes 4 years to make these games. I put probably 100 hours into Just Cause 2, and I don't think I played any of the story, like beyond the opening missions.
Oh, so you just
like running around the island. Yeah. You know, the whole point is to cause destruction and damage the government property.
Just Cause destruction.
Yeah, Just Cause destruction.
Thank you.
The subtitle on the new one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly what the point I was going to make, because I didn't play nearly 100 hours of it, but you know, probably 15 or 20, and I don't remember doing anything story related in that game. I went to some hotel and rescued a guy, and then I spent the rest of the time just flying around in a jet.
See, this is why I kind of like when a company takes a few years to work on their open world game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice. GTA, you get one every 5 years, Just Cause every 4 years, something like that. Assassin's Creed, every 6 months.
Well, thank God there's a new Saints Row expansion turned into a real game every year.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that too.
I don't know. I like when these open world games are spaced out a little bit. But
yeah, for sure.
I know we're all going to be playing Watch Dogs 2 next year. Maybe take a few years.
Yeah. You're not going to play Watch Dogs 2 next year.
I will.
Well, I'm not playing Watch Dogs 2 next year.
Yes, they will.
No way.
Yes, they will.
There will not be Watch Dogs 2.
There will be Watch Dogs 2 in 2015.
All right. You saw it here.
Okay. Maybe that won't be the actual title.
Nope, that was it. That's legality on this one.
It'll be like Watch Dogs Camouflage or something.
That sounds actually realistic.
It's a good name, right?
I'm with Greg on this one.
Really?
Sorry.
There will be a Watch Dogs 2, just maybe not next year.
Yeah.
Anyway, Just Cause 2, you had your grappling hook mechanic, so that was like the unique thing that the game did. You could grapple on the ground, right? So you had your grappling hook and your parachute.
Yeah.
So you could just grapple horizontally, and that would launch you into the air with your parachute, and you could maneuver around the island that way.
That
makes
thing.
No sense, but it's very awesome.
It was
awesome.
But it was super fun. Yeah.
No, the physics in that game made no sense, but the less sense that they made, the more fun it was. My favorite was that if you were falling without your parachute, falling at terminal velocity, if you grappled the ground and pulled yourself towards you'd be fine.
Hit the ground and pulled yourself into the ground, you're fine. You just had to somehow break the momentum of your fall.
Yeah.
In the fantasy physics world of Just Cause 2.
Yeah. Right, and there was a thing where, like, the CO2 tanks, or whatever the tanks were that would explode and shoot through the air, if you grappled onto one of them, you could like, go on a ride with it, and it would, like, take you.
It would, like, take you on, yeah.
It was great.
Anyway, Game Informer had the scoop on Just Cause 3, and they have the first screenshots here, which we can take a look at. Let's pull this up here. Ooh. Yeah, I know this is very...
Set in the Mediterranean.
This is very fancy. Ooh. Here, new terrain tech allows for unique rock structures like these. So now we've got some, like... arched rock structures that we're going to be able to...
I like how you're taking us on a little tour of these screenshots.
Yep.
Ah, this is the Just Cause I know and remember.
Yeah.
That is awesome. What a beautiful moment that is. What a great screenshot. That's probably my favorite video game screenshot of the year.
Wow. And like, if this were
awesome.
If this were a different game, I'd be like, well, come on. He obviously just like ramped it off the road and they staged the screen. But it's like, nah, man. That's just...
The surfing, like the car surfing into this beautiful Italian village over here.
Well, Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
Medici.
They're stealing the airjacking mechanic from Wheelman.
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like they're not like messing with the formula too much.
No.
Which is fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all I want to do is run around and do crazy stuff in this game. Still have the dictator statues that you can pull down. That was like a fun side mission that you can do.
Well, now I've read somewhere that they're more fun than ever to destroy.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I hear. Oh, just one of the ways you can approach a base. It's kind of like Far Cry 3, where there's all these outposts that you can approach the way that you want to.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I did like Just Cause 2 a lot, played it a lot, but outside of that grappling and that verticality, like flying in jets and parachuting out of it, I do feel like Far Cry 3 sort of overshadowed it in that way. Like, the gunplay in Far Cry was much better. You know, it actually told a relatively interesting story. Mm-hmm. So I hope Just Cause 3 can sort of step up, you know, its game and sort of compete with some of the sort of wacky, insane open world games that have come out since. Like, Just Cause 2 wasn't literally the first one, because there was Saints Row, but it was like one of the games that sort of kicked off, like, yo, man, we're going to let you do whatever you want.
Do whatever the hell you want.
And take all Justin, you know about these things probably better than most people at IGN, but was that one of the largest open world maps? Man,
I was super terrified that you were going to say that I know about these things and I would have no idea.
No,
we were going to do a feature on it.
Yeah, you're very honed in on like very sort of like...
we did the day-night cycles
in
games.
Stuff like that. Like which game has the longest and shortest day-night cycles, like who has the tallest characters, like biggest open worlds. And I think
Just Cause 2
had one of the biggest ones,
right?
I think
so too.
Just Cause 2 has one of the biggest in-game maps of any game ever made, and they said 3 is going to be just as big, but it's going to feel denser because you can now go into subterranean caves and stuff like that, and the mountain peaks are higher. So there's more verticality.
Screenshot, we can see the fuel tank that you were talking about. But it looks like...
What is going on here?
Is this cooperative play over here? Is this another player?
No, it's single player only, they said.
So what's this other grapple hooker doing? That's Kratos.
Looks pretty clear that it's Kratos.
Yeah, back there.
You heard it here first.
The red paint on him. Yeah, the Blades of Chaos.
Kratos over there.
I totally didn't even see that screenshot before we started. I'm so glad that that's in.
Liar.
Now this looks
you're,
like
you're
Mad-
playing T-ball out there. Just hitting home runs.
Reminds me of Mad Max. And aren't they also making Mad Max, the game?
Yeah, they can just stop doing that. Yeah, but on this one.
Avalanche has a couple different studios, and this is their, I think their New York studio is making Just Cause, and a different team is making Mad Max.
Okay.
I believe.
Oh, so. But what I want to point out here is that all the guns you equip show up on your body.
Nice. That's really cool. Right. Oh, wow. I like that.
Really?
So it's sort of, it's not like a Legend of Zelda thing where you've got a magical bag 500 bombs.
Yeah.
That's like such a weird thing to harp on. I always see people seem to love in RPGs where your equipment shows up on your character. It's like, if you put on your helmet, you can see it. I'm like, so?
It's so realistic when I fight this mythical dragon.
It's just not one of the things that I care about at all.
Yeah.
Sure. For RPGs, like Diablo, though, it matters. You get that new helm, you put it on, you want to see how it looks different.
I just care about the stats.
I think stuff like that's kind of cool.
You're horrible.
I liked what they did.
You're horrible.
You're the horriblest.
You guys are both great.
I hate all of you. I think it was cool, like in Dead Space, where they had his health on the back, like little touches kind of cool sort of be like, oh, I wonder what weapons I'm carrying. Oh, there they are, literally right in front of me.
Yeah, the only time I would say that I've cared about it is in an MMO, because then you want to show off your sparkly sword or whatever. Yep.
Believe it or not, Damon, this will be the second Wheelman reference in one game scoop. Uh-huh. But for me, I never ever really thought about like weapons popping on bodies, except for when it breaks the the look of a game. And Wheelman was that, where Vin Diesel is shooting an Uzi, and then he would take it and just glue it to his back and then run around. And I called that out in the review of like, that looks so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And people like, and I remember one of the comments that stuck with me was like, in GTA, you pull a rocket launcher out of your jacket. And I was like,
I guess you do.
Yeah, this whole like bazooka thing.
I forgot how Bugs Bunny that is, by the way. It's very much a...
There's a Chappelle Show sketch about that.
Yeah.
About video games specifically?
Yeah, about GTA, about weapon spawning, and I think it was Chappelle.
Maybe where he just has his hand out, and it's like it cycles through five different guns.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where somebody would just, one of the weasels would just pull a Tommy gun out of his shirt, and it was just like 6 feet long.
What was the first Wheelman reference?
Airjacking.
Oh.
They pioneered it, mm-hmm. and then some other games took it,
too. What was Hot Pursuit? Not Hot Pursuit, the game where you were the cops and you would leap onto cars.
Pursuit Force.
Pursuit Force.
That's, it, well, like, it was a PlayStation 1, PSP eventually, for number two.
Like, original PlayStation?
No, I think it was, where was the first one? Was it
PSP, I think, was the first
PSP,
one?
PSP, okay, so it was just PSP. I remember the second one being on PSP. I wasn't ready to say that it was all
PSP. I think
PSP.
It was a PS2 game.
It was like the precursor to Sleeping Dogs, of leaping onto cars and, like, taking them down.
Well, Wheelman did all this.
Which is a mean thing to do.
Airjacking.
Mm. Well, I mean, you're a cop.
Well, there's nicer ways to get around town.
anyway, I'm excited for Just Cause 3. That's coming next year. No release date yet. Two games that are out now, their release dates just passed, are two new Assassin's Creeds.
No!
Unity and Rogue. Yeah.
Rouge is how it's pronounced.
Rouge.
I believe it's Rouge.
Yeah.
See, there it is.
It's actually Rugga.
Surprised that Rogue, the last-gen game, is getting better reviews?
Not surprised at all.
No.
Yeah. We should point out, Unity is not getting terrible reviews.
Yeah.
They're both getting good reviews. Rogue's just getting better reviews.
Justin wants to argue.
I'm saying, in general, most reviews are good.
Unity's Metacritic is about a 75, but...
Yeah. We gave it a 7.8.
We did.
Cool.
are any of you guys playing Unity yet?
No, but I mean, this goes to what I was saying before, right? Like, take a few years.
Yep. 100%.
Take a few years and be like, when we're ready. Like, this game wasn't ready.
And to be fair, the team, it's not like it's the same team, like, furiously pumping out an Assassin's Creed every year. Like, they're staggering their teams. Like, I think they had 3 years to work on this one.
But, I mean, so a lot of what I'm reading about this is that it's, like, when it really gets moving and you see a lot of things going on, it's beautiful and it's breathtaking. It's great, but there's still a lot of the same problems that the series has had for 5 years now.
I am playing Unity, and I don't care for it.
You're telling me you think it's the worst Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, sure, but the caveat is I haven't played 1 since it was new. And, like, 1 is not a bad game, but it was, like, you know, really repetitive and the one that started it all.
You never played 1?
No, I just haven't played it since it came out. And so I'm not...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's either the worst or second worst Assassin's Creed, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
Well, that's the thing about these games. I have a tough time going back to them. Like, I don't think I will all... I mean, I played a lot of Assassin's Creed 2, but I will never play it again.
Sure,
and I loved it at the time, but, like, I'll play Wind Waker again or something like that. I feel like that game ages, you know, or, like, the original Doom or Tetris or something. Yeah. But I'm not going to go back and play Assassin's Creed 1 or 2.
No, and I actually would. I've been having this op-ed in my head that I want to write for a long time, that I wish more games gave you, like, the keys to the game after you beat it. Because, like, Assassin's Creed is full of, and they're huge, complex games, so I understand why, but, like, just hours of tutorials, and, like, here's this character, and here's this character, and, like, I would go back and play Assassin's Creed 2 if I could just see, like, look, don't even mess with any story stuff, just, like, run around Rome, have a good time.
Yeah, I like that. You and I were talking about how games should sort of have that, like, DVD menu, like, chapter
select. Yeah, like,
select,
once you beat a Zelda game, like, I want to play the temple in Twilight Princess where you're in the snow mansion.
Awesome temple.
But I can't. It's like 30 hours into that game, and so I'm never going to see that temple again.
It's crazy.
Anyway, Unity is not good, in my opinion.
I was going to start it this weekend.
I'm not super sensitive to frame rates. It's not something that is on my radar, but this game I notice it. It looks framey to me. It runs poorly. I think the frame rate is not good, even on the Xbox One, which is actually better than the PS4 in this instance.
So what do they do with this franchise then? Because, I mean,
they're going to react to sales. Remember, that was a statement from Ubisoft this year, right? Of, like, the guy was like, hey, if people keep buying these year after year, we're going to keep... Mr. Ubisoft, of course, heir to the Ubi fortune, was saying, you know, if people have spoken, you're going to buy these every year, so we'll put them out every year.
Yeah. So that's two a year.
Excited to do these murder mysteries. I thought that sounded
cool. The murder mysteries are cool. So let me... I'm not wild about the game, and I actually think I'm about half
sleeping.
Oh, God.
I think I'm about halfway through it, and I don't think I'm going to play anymore because I'm enjoying Dragon Age a lot more. But it does have... It's not like it's awful. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that's really good about it. The murder mysteries are super cool. Mm. And they're actually challenging. Like, what I like about them is they... like, you have to solve the puzzle. Like, it's far less hand-holdy than other Assassin's Creeds have been. Like, it trusts the player to have, like, a certain amount of intelligence instead of just being like, go here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just go here and talk to the lady. Like, you actually have to figure out who committed these murders. And when you want to... That extends even into the campaign missions. These are all side missions. In the campaign missions, like, they're really wide open to tackle them however you want. Like, you have to get into Notre Dame, and there's 12 entrances. Like, find one and work it out yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, that part's super cool, and I'm glad that they respect the player's intelligence more than previous AC games. But there's still too many problems for me to look past it.
Sure.
And this is coming. I just think 4 was so good.
Well, that's why it's weird. Like, the Assassin's Creed franchise... sees a lot of peaks and valleys, right? Like, people were lukewarm on 1, everybody loved 2, and then there were 2, like, spin-offs that were, like, pretty well-received.
Reminds
and
me
then,
a lot of Call of Duty.
People were super hyped for Assassin's Creed 3, and then super disappointed in it.
Yes, yeah, totally.
And then we were like, oh my gosh, Assassin's Creed 4, they're doing pirates, and they were like, whoa, that's awesome!
Yeah, it was really good.
So good! And now the next one comes out, and they're like,
Well, that was the thing, is, like, if you remember for 4, like, you were at that PAX where I went to play it, where I was like, I don't care about this Assassin's Creed, and we played it, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, this is so cool, this is so different. And then looking at this, I'm like, that could easily be Rome. Like, it's not, don't get me wrong, but, like, just the setting isn't different enough for me to be like, oh, yeah, that looks awesome. Like, we always talk about, go do feudal Japan, go do something, like, make the games look very different and go, because, I did the in 5 minutes story script while you were hurt, and it was just like, first off, in the whole first part of it, I would not have even known that was Assassins if you removed pieces of Eden. Yeah. And then, it just in 4 was like what you were talking about with Just Cause, where I played 4 and I did not give a rat's ass about the story. Sure. I couldn't tell you anything was happening. I just wanted to take over the map and fight his ships and do all these cool things. So if the hook is now just to continue the story, I don't care. It needs to be that it's something cool gameplay-wise.
Yeah. I actually don't know how much, since you three haven't played it yet, how much you know about this side of it. I wrote a short thing on IGN that even outside of all the gameplay, just sort of like Ubisoft's business decisions are like super gross. there is a treasure chest, and it's strategically placed so that you can't friggin' miss it because it's right outside like your home base.
Yeah.
Where you try to open it, and it's like, hey, to get this treasure chest, you need to download the companion app. And I'm like, this is horseshit. But I moved on. And then I went to another treasure chest, and it's like, hey, to open this treasure chest, you need to sign up for Assassin's Creed Initiates.
I hate this stuff.
Yeah. It's the worst. And you're in, this is a game that you paid $60 for that spams you to sign up for Ubisoft services. And it's a game where that's in revolutionary France, and it's immersive, and you meet Napoleon, and there's 5,000 NPCs on the screen. And then it yanks you out of the experience to try to get you to download this bullshit app.
Like, yeah, see, that's my
it's actually, so gross.
That's my problem with it, even more than the sort of the shoddy business aspect of it, is just sort of yanking me out of the story and the world. Like, there's so much world building here, and to go in and like they took pictures all over Japan, all over France, and they put textures in the game, and it's amazing. They did history, and thousands of people all over the world worked on this game. And then it's just like, whoop, pull me right out, make me go onto my laptop. Where I'm gonna have to type in something, and in the process of doing that, I'm gonna be like, you know what? Instead, I'm gonna go to Twitter and bitch about this.
It's so
why would I ever do this?
I mean, what I did, this is actually not an exaggeration or anything. The third time that happened, I couldn't open a treasure chest. I turned it off and I went back to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need this in my life. Like, I kind of can't believe it, and it's almost like it just felt so bad. I've never seen something like that egregious and aggressive about like. Plenty of games have been like Dead Space was a famous example of like, hey, you can spend some money to get ahead. And it's like always been like hidden away in some corner. But like Assassin's Creed Unity is so in your face about it. And I find it really insulting.
Well, you said Smash Brothers. It's like if you grabbed the Pokeball or a trophy in that game and you threw it in the ground and it was like, hey, to see the contents of this Pokeball, go to Nintendo. And you're like, stop.
And it's like you say that as a joke, but that's not an exaggeration. That's what Unity is. Like you cannot 100% that game without having this ancillary bullshit.
I saw there was even there was a trophy joking about Resolution Gate. There's like a 1080p.
Is that true?
There's a trophy that says 1080p on it. And it's just like, Just let it go. Just drop it.
What about Rogue though? Rogue
looks great. It's got a higher. It's getting better reviews.
Yeah,
higher Metacritic.
It seems like it's more more for Black Flag.
Yeah,
it is. This isn't a value judgment, but it is a reskin of AC4. Like I don't know how much you guys have seen about Rogue, but
that was the whole thing. They were super quiet about it.
Like it literally has. Like in the modern day elements, this is a mild spoiler. In the modern day elements, you're carrying around the exact same PDA you are in AC4. Like, it's insane how much it looks exactly like AC4. But AC4 was awesome.
Right. So what did they do? Did they put a bunch of snow on AC4?
Well, you're in the north. You're in the Pacific Northwest now.
Okay,
but you play a bad guy now. It's interesting.
You play one of the Templars.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played Rogue yet because I'm waiting. I have my fingers crossed that they're going to announce a PS4 and Xbox One.
Guarantee.
They will. Yep. It won't be for like 3 or 4 months, but yeah.
So this looks like, and I mean this in a good way, not a bad way, but it looks like a glorified, huge, blown-up expansion for AC4.
Sure.
Like, you know, and it looks great. Like, I watched some gameplay of it, and like, what impresses me most, it's a little bit hard to articulate, it's that little moment where you're on your ship and it's a huge ship-to-ship battle and then you dive into the water and then that transition from like ship to water to being on foot and chasing a dude is like awesome. It feels really cool and epic and like it just feels kind of magical.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if I'm ready to dump a whole bunch of hours into a PS3 game like that this fall with so many other things like
there's a million games fighting, hitting every Tuesday.
Yeah, fighting for my attention. It's insane how many games there are right now, and I'm kind of doing the same thing where I'm like, I'm just going back to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
It's my comfort food. Everything else is too much. It's like I want to start Far Cry, but I know that's going to be like 40 hours of my life, and I want to play the new AC, but now I hear something a little bit worrisome about it, and I'm like, maybe I'll wait.
For me, it's Smash and Fantasy Life. Like, Nintendo is kind of, like, saving. You know, Master Chief Collection came out, and it's completely screwed. Like, you can't play. I've been trying to play that game every night for over a week, and have never played it with another human being.
Wow. Really?
Like, this is the one you're the most excited for.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's busted. And whatever. Like, it'll be fixed whenever it gets fixed, and in a month it's not going to be a problem. But for now, I've just had, like, the worst. I'm like, AC was really disappointing. Couldn't play Master Chief Collection. I tried playing the first level of Call of Duty, and it glitched out on me. And I'm
cursed.
Like, well, back to Nintendo. Like,
no
speaking of which, we can't say much about it yet, but Captain Toad, is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've been watching.
Oh, man.
We can't say much about it,
but here's a huge word that they might use on the box without my permission. Look out for that one.
What's the release date on that one? December, but
I think it's like the first week of December.
Yeah, sounds it's, all right. It's just super excited for that.
Yeah, very, very inventive little game. Wonderful. It's like $40 too. So.
Yep.
Speaking even more about Nintendo, Majora's Mask coming to 3DS next year. You definitely need to get Altano's opinion because I know he's not a fan of that particular game.
I remember on GameScoop a few years ago, you and I talked about, like, you were like, I love that game, but I hadn't played it in a while. And I was like, I didn't really like that game, but I hadn't played it in a while. And we were talking about doing a sort of like a book club type of thing where we brought it back and tried to play it again.
That never happened.
No, it never happened, obviously, because too many other games came out. But this is a good excuse to do it. And I actually really enjoyed Ocarina of Time on 3DS. I thought they did a great job with that port. I mean, a lot of things were still very old about it. Mm-hmm. There was still like the same button was to talk to people and use your sword and read a sign. So you'd walk up to a sign and you'd slash it in half by accident. Like, oh, damn it.
Like in my head,
you can play a song.
In my memory, this is my favorite Zelda game. But I honestly haven't played it since it came out.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I want to see how does it hold up.
And I have some questions about the way this is going to work because fundamentally as a console game with that three-day cycle thing, I don't know how that's going to translate to a handheld in short bursts. Like,
it'll be fine. I mean, that part is... I'm not the world's biggest Majora's Mask fan either, but I don't think that part will be a problem.
I think it's going to need some tweaking. I think that like they're going to have to do some stuff with save points and stuff like that. Like,
really?
Yeah, why? I think so. Because saving in the last one in Majora's Mask was kind of weird. I mean, everything in this game is weird. They just sucked a cow in a
space. The trailer is so weird. That's
what
I want.
How weird and
the trailer is incredibly weird. If you've never played this game before, this was just like, what the...
like nothing about this screams Legend of Zelda, right?
And the music playing in the background of this trailer, which we can't hear now,
it's ominous.
Just like... it's like weird noises and these aliens show up. And
this is what I tweeted out when this was announced, was I don't really like Majora's Mask that much, but not for any reasons to do with the game's theme or like its weirdness. I think all that's awesome. And like, I want the Zelda games to get like super weird and out there again and like feel on edge and uneasy and just kind of creepy. And that's when Zelda is... super interesting to me. There was a little bit of that edge in Twilight Princess.
So what didn't you like about Majora's Mask?
The mechanics, just the time looping mechanics.
Me neither. That was what always stopped me, because I thought the themes were really cool. I thought the world was great. Like, I like the idea of a weird, dark Zelda that doesn't go with the continuity of the other ones, because it's just so strange and out there. Like, that this impending doom of the moon coming down upon...
Yeah, it's great.
Upon...
Well, wasn't this like the only... Not the only, don't get me wrong, but one of the only to really have the continuity? Like, you were the same Link. This was Ocarina of Time's Link.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Zelda timeline, which is a play to spaghetti.
I mean, that's what I loved about it, is that I loved Ocarina of Time so much that I got to go do something different with the same character.
Yeah, I think Altano's just saying it's not in Hyrule, it's not like...
That's another reason I love it, and like one of the my main gripes with where Zelda is that I feel like I hear the same story over and over and over and over.
I agree.
My problems with it really was that the actual world feels a little smaller, there's not as many temples, stuff like that, and I didn't like getting halfway through a temple and being like, I gotta get the hell out of here. That's like, to me, I want to get into a temple, and it's just like, I take my time, and I do my own thing.
Exactly. I am completely with you. Like, I respect the game's vision for being like, this is stressful, and it's supposed to be stressful, kind of like in that survival horror way, where, like, you're supposed to feel this uneasiness and this race against time, and that's the game's whole point. But for me, that goes against, like, what Zelda is. Like, I want to be able to explore and experiment and try things. And, like, I feel like I'm punished for doing that when I play Majora's Mask.
I think you make a really good point that this has been this really beloved Zelda for a really long time. And I don't know if that's, like, just part of what we remember it to be. Mm-hmm. But when it comes out again next year, like, this will give everyone a chance to be like, oh, I was right. Or, oh, man, I was kind of off on that one.
Yeah, so I'll give it a shot. Yeah, it comes out, everybody who loved it is like, oh, this is terrible.
It might happen. I mean, I think that happens a lot, right? Like, games get re-released and we go and play them again. And I'm like, oh, well, the vision of that in my head is very different than what it actually was.
That's what I...
should have left the past in the past. Yeah.
That's what I've played, even though Master Chief Collection has been busted, I have been playing a little bit of the campaign. And in Halo 1 and 2, you can toggle between the old graphics and the new graphics. And I started Halo 1, and I'm like, man, this game looks like... I'm like, this game still looks pretty good. I want to switch to the new graphics and see how much better they look.
You were on the new graphics.
But I was already on the new graphics, because in my head, like, the updated new gorgeous graphics is how that game looked, and I switched back to the old graphics, and I'm like, oh.
Like, whoa.
Oh dear.
It's like just like a gray, just like blob, and you can't even tell. Like, it doesn't even look like you're on a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's literally like, they changed one. There's like a corkboard that has things tacked to it, and in the new version, they made it like a hologram that's got all this like interesting information on it. And like, but it, in my memories, it always looked that good.
Sure.
But
do you miss the corkboard?
I don't miss the corkboard. Corkboard gate.
All right. We now have our first details on the Game of Thrones game from Telltale. Coming out next month, no release date, but coming soon, Telltale promises. It will be a 6-episode season.
Ooh. Which is notable.
Because Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us are both 5-episode
seasons. I think everything's been 5.
Yeah. Even Jurassic Park was too.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Sam and Max. Future
was, yeah.
I wonder why. That's weird.
Yeah. They just couldn't fit it all in.
Maybe.
Focus on House Forrester, who is a house that's not in the show, but apparently is in the books.
Yeah, they're canonical. They're not like major characters or anything, but they do like exist in the universe of Game of Thrones. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Their house motto is iron from ice. I believe they're woodworkers. Is that true? That's their craft.
They're up north, and they swear their allegiance to the Starks.
Yeah, loyal to the Starks. So we'll be visiting their stronghold, but we'll also visit familiar locations like King's Landing and the Wall. Right. And then what was interesting to me is that the game picks up towards the end of season 3 of the TV show and ends just before the beginning of season 5, which will air in the spring, and I imagine the game will like run right up to that if they've timed it out smartly, right?
If they're smart, yeah.
They're smart, but Telltale is not timely. That's the main problem.
I was about to say the same thing.
I'm sure on paper that's what they're trying to hit. Yeah. Will they? Who knows?
Yeah.
I think this is awesome. I think you didn't mention it, but one of the most interesting things is that you play as multiple characters, like multiple members of this house, and they're in different spots. So it's sort of set up in the same way as the books, where like presumably an entire chapter will be from like one House Forrester character's point of view, then another character is on the Wall, and another character is in King's Landing, and like, you know, it'll be these threads that like weave between them, but really they're each like giving you a window into like a different, you know, portion of the world and a different character. And like, is this the first Telltale game where you play as a different character like each time around? Like,
in each episode?
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's been times where you had played someone else for like a moment, but it is like different than Wolf or Game of Thrones or than Walking Dead. And I think that's really interesting for that reason.
And the Walking Dead game, Is it supposed to be set in the world of the TV show?
No, it's in this TV show. It's in the comics.
That's right. Okay.
This is in the TV show, right?
Yeah, but I would.
Oh wait, is that true?
Yeah.
This is in the TV show's continuity.
That's what I was saying. So it begins at the end of season three. Picks. It goes up to the beginning of season 5, which is upcoming.
That I didn't know. I guess.
Yeah. This is HBO's Game of Thrones. This is they're doing it with HBO. Yeah.
I have completely missed that detail. Wow. Okay.
But surely there aren't going to be any major characters from the show in the game. Like, you're not going to have Jamie Lannister showing up played by some sound-alike, right?
You'd hope not.
Yeah.
And you don't know what that agreement with HBO looks like, right? Maybe if HBO has their contracts drawn up right, maybe they could, but I doubt that's what happens.
Yeah. I would be really surprised.
Really? I mean, I totally think that they would show... There'll be these guys that show up and then bounce.
I wouldn't be surprised if you walk into some place, right?
Hey, look, at some point, it's Bran,
like,
and
the
then
Hound
like,
walks past you or something.
Yeah, right. Sure. Little references like that. Yeah, I think it's a... It's a huge get. It's a really big deal. I don't think we've ever seen, if that's really the case, then I don't think we've ever seen like a video game in a really popular TV show so intertwined in that same
way. What was that sci-fi show?
Besides
Verge,
the one we can't name.
as popular as they get.
Yeah. And I like the idea of them exploring new stories in this world that don't, that aren't TV episodes, because that's just like every single thing they do on that show, it costs billions of dollars. So.
Right, and so it'll be interesting to see if they can reach the dramatic heights that the show reaches, because every season has like a gut-wrenching moment.
Yeah,
right. That people remember.
I mean, it's Telltale.
What's that?
It's
I know.
Yeah. They're known for their games having gut-wrenching moments.
Yeah, that's what excites me about this. Yeah. Is like telling, you know, stories that with deep intertwining politics and, you know, not being afraid to, you know, do super risky things with their storytelling. Like, it seems like such a perfect fit for the way that Telltale is doing business these days. Like, this license and this brand.
It is interesting how it could weave in with the show, though, because if, you know, like, when we all talk about Walking Dead, we talk about... decisions what we made and how they've differed, but they really only impact like the next chapters in the game. But if they had a character here that had a different outcome that is somehow now on the show with, you know, a missing arm or something, or not a missing arm, spoilers, to any Telltale game, then that could be kind of worrisome. So I think they'll probably establish a new character, and then we'll all see that character play out differently.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this guarantees that, you know, even if someone like, whatever, like Arya Stark does make an appearance in the game or any of the major characters, it guarantees that they can't have a major impact on the story because it's like, well, they can't die. Like,
yeah.
You know, so anything super nasty that happens will have to happen to a new character.
Yeah, it can't be like, I chopped off her head in that game. How come she's got a head on the show?
How does it work?
I still haven't beaten Walking Dead Season 2 or Wolf Among Us, actually.
Come on, Damon.
I know. What am I doing with my life?
This Hearthstone garbage is ruining you.
We're going to talk about that in just a second.
Your mother and I are going to confiscate your iPad.
Telltale's Game of Thrones begins next month. It's coming to every platform except Wii U.
Did they say next month? I thought they just said soon.
December.
Okay.
So it's coming. You got no facts on this one.
I thought you... Okay.
Speaking of Hearthstone, 120 new cards coming in December.
The game's first big real expansion.
Goblins and Gnomes is what this one's called. So,
Goblins, hot.
I was gonna say, I don't really care about this game, but that art is wonderful.
Yeah, the art's really good.
It's really, really nice.
Yep.
Justin, tell us a little bit about this. Goblins and gnomes have a rivalry in the Warcraft universe, is that right?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they fighting over resources?
No, I mean, they're both sort of kind of the silly race. Like, I mean, there's plenty of serious gnomes and serious goblins too, but they're often played as comic relief.
Gotcha.
And obviously, they're both diminutive races as well. And they're both the tinkerers, so that's why they have this kind of rivalry, is they're both known for, you know, making mechanical constructions and experimenting with things in that way.
Gotcha.
So the 120 new cards,
yeah.
120 plus new cards that are coming, they're slowly revealing them.
Yeah.
A lot of them seem to have really random
effects. They answered some of this in a Q&A, or I saw it somewhere, like in some sort of official way, because Hearthstone... one of the only things that people complain about in that game, including me, is the randomness. Like, deal 3 damage to a random character. And
yeah.
It's like, well, like, it's just the roll of the dice, whether you win or lose often. Which, some randomness is fine, it's fun, but I feel like Hearthstone take it a little too far.
Mm.
And so all these new cards they're revealing are even more random, and so people were super worried.
Do something to someone!
But
But Blizzard confirmed that they just showed off those cards at BlizzCon, and then in the whole set, most of them are going to be not that way.
Gotcha.
They look great. I mean, the game, it's tough to keep a card game fresh like that without a steady cadence of new content. Like, you need to mix up the metagame.
Yeah, like this is one of the new cards. The
computer, put card on screen.
The Recombobulator, his battle cry is to transform a friendly minion into a random minion with the same cost.
Right, so
when I look at that, it's like, I don't know how I would use that strategically. Like, what would I plan for?
Yeah, I mean, when I saw all the new cards, I'm like, this is not... tournament worthy. This isn't a card that like I can rely on, but it looks like a heck of a lot of fun.
Sure.
That was like my reaction to all of them. I'm like, this looks fun, but it's not like they didn't seem appropriate for like super high level, like top tier play in that way. Although I'm sure those cards are in there too, but those just aren't the ones that they were previewing so far.
Yeah.
I like that the new cards come in a new expansion pack.
Meaning?
So, you can spend, you know, however much money, like 99 cents or 100 gold to get a pack of cards, and it'll be only
just
cards
the
from
new cards.
Set.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, because I have not quite all the old cards, but most of them. Like, I have all the commons and uncommons and almost all the rares, too. So it would take me a million years to get the new ones if I couldn't get them in a new in a new separate pack. So
that's smart.
I'll drop, you know, whatever, 10 bucks and get the new cards.
It just sounds like a lot of cards. Over 120 new ones, right? Like,
it's a lot of cards.
I mean, I think it's great.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Hearthstone's greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. Like, the level of polish that the game has means that every single card has, like, a separate line of dialogue when you play the card, a separate line when it attacks, a separate line when it dies. It has an animated version that's, like, the foil, like, the heroic version of the card. Mm-hmm. Have to have these special animations. A lot of them have, like, custom attacking animations, and so it's, like, it's not enough for them to just, like, dream up a new card and put it in the game. Like, it's so much work. Sure. Like, I can't imagine, okay, we have this new card, and then you have these 12 steps you have to do to get the card in the game. And so for that to be 120, like, I don't know. I hope they can keep up that pace.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll make some modifications, like they had to do with Release the Hounds and Starving Buzzard.
Yeah, sure. They can nerf or buff them along the way.
Totally.
I actually disagree completely, but yes.
This has been your Hearthstone Game Scoop Corner. Yeah, with Justin.
I hate when they nerf the recombobulators.
What about Towerfall? You guys play Towerfall?
Ascension?
We play Towerfall, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's old. I was like, what have I missed? What's happening?
I was like, well, let us tell you what you've missed.
It came out this year, and it's getting an expansion. Oh, that's why it's known as
sweet. Yeah. New stages, new bad guys?
Yeah, new.
I just love how this game looks.
So good. Game's amazing.
This is one of my favorite games of this year, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I haven't played as much of it as I would like to because. Because it's local multiplayer, and so that's the first thing that people wanted to know. And no, they're not adding any online multiplayer.
I guess that's...
Yeah, but they are adding new characters and new stages and some new arrow types.
Interesting. Man, yeah. Towerfall was so good. This is one of those games that I don't feel like got its due. Like, we gave it a positive review, but around the office, I don't feel like it got
really?
Its due.
Really?
Yeah, well...
Yeah, we played so much Nidhogg, and we're playing so much Smash now, but I don't really remember...
Yeah, I guess that's right. We only had, like, 2 days in the office where we played a lot of this. But I feel like when I go to PAX, we were in that thing at PAX, Game Hunger Games.
Yeah, Greg and I competed in the Video Game Hunger Games at PAX against a bunch of other outlets, and we won. And this was one of the games we played. And
I can't remember if we won this though.
No, I don't think. I think we lost this one. But what I really like about this game is there's this like sort of last hurrah that always happens where you think a character's dead, and then something explodes and kills the other guy, or like an arrow flies out of nowhere. And there's different weird rules, like some characters shoot arrows that start moving in lefts and rights and ups and downs instead of just diagonals. So you turn a corner and an arrow shoots up and stabs some guy in the neck. But yeah, I think what hurt this game is that it's only local, and that immediately constrains the amount of people that can enjoy it.
Yeah.
You need people in the same room as it. So it's a great party game, but I just don't think it's in a lot of people's vernacular of, I have four people over my house, what should I play?
Yeah.
You know, I don't Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Towerfall.
Like, it's a super tiny indie game, so I totally understand why it's local multiplayer. Like, it's not everybody has the resources to make their game online, so I don't begrudge the game for it at all. And even from a design perspective, like, it really makes sense to have the people next to you shouting.
Sure,
and,
that's
and
part of the fun, right?
You know, and latency would be an issue for a game that's, like, this twitchy as well.
Yep.
Man, just watching this footage makes me want to get it going and...
So, there's a new series of stages that you play through, and the final one is called Cataclysm, and it's, like, it's a roguelike... So it's procedurally generated every time. So you'll have a sort of random match every time you
play. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then two new arrow types they're adding. There's a remote mine arrow that you can detonate. And then there's a one that, I forget the name of it, but it'll trap your opponent in like an orb so they can't move for a set amount of time. Yeah, it's fun. It's good stuff.
Really good game.
Happy to play more Towerfall.
Damn right.
Before we have to say goodbye to Justin, let's try to wrap things up. Let's bring back our new recurring segment, Scooper Hero News. Mm-hmm. Greg, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
What do you think? This is not confirmed. This is a rumor.
Right, it's a rumor.
Playing Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad movie. Is that right?
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know who Harley Quinn or who Margot Robbie is, I can pull her up.
She's one of the beautiful human beings in the history of our species.
What has she been in?
Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay. Thank you. We showed the blogger image. I read the story. Like, okay, but I didn't. I had to run away before I caught where she'd been in. Now I know who she is. Yes, one of the most beautiful human beings on the planet
in the history of our species. But why I really like her is not just because she's like gorgeous and she's funny, but she's also like very sassy in that movie. Like the way she just like. There are scenes in that movie where she has complete control over Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's not just because of her stunning looks. It's because like she knows how to put her foot down and take care of this guy and really beat him around. And I like that idea of her coming on screen and being kind of menacing, because that's what I always liked about Harley Quinn, is that she's completely unpredictable and she's insane, but she is like she plays next to Joker as somebody who's a little more rational. Like, you can kind of have a conversation with her, whereas Joker will just kill you. But I like that, because I think she's very multidimensional, so she's a perfect character for that. Yeah. As for the movie, I have no hope in it.
Well, no hope? What do you mean? Jared Leto maybe as Joker. That's awesome.
That could be really cool.
That is awesome.
I think that'd great casting.
Yeah,
great casting.
Yeah.
What does Joker have to do with... What do they have to do with the Suicide Squad, though?
Why not? I mean, you figure like Suicide Squad is similar to a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing, right? If you just talk about to the regular consumer, you present the regular cast of the Suicide Squad, that's gonna be rough. You put Joker in the trailer or whatever, that he's not on the Suicide Squad. He's, you know, Harley's going out doing something for it, and they have that like run-in thing. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I just want to mention my good personal friend Ryan Scott, former IGN employee, is the guy who has made the most wiki contributions to the Suicide Squad Wikipedia page.
Really?
Did he ever do the Suicide Squad podcast he was talking to me about?
I'm sure he did.
He wanted to do one where he was going to go back and read every issue of Suicide Squad and do a podcast about it.
So, I mean, he's tried to extend it all to me. The Suicide
Suicide Pod. There you go. That's really a free good. One, Ryan, if you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's all really cool. I just, like, my excitement for comic book movies is always, it's very low, and then I get to be pleasantly surprised when it does.
Do you think she has to do like a special voice?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, at a glance, she looks like you could dress her up as Harley Quinn, that would work, but like...
The voice is a big deal.
Yeah, her voice is a big deal, and just sort of her like affectations and her mannerisms. Like, she's pretty cool, calm and collected in Wolf of Wall Street, so I haven't seen her act that over the top way. That
I mean, the
Harley
thing
Quinn
about it too is like, I mean, it's a different interpretation of the character.
Sure.
Like, it's going to be weird if she doesn't do the Mr. J and all that stuff, but also, like, it's a movie, and if you're trying to suspend disbelief or whatever, right? Heath Ledger's Joker wasn't Cesar Romero's Joker, and we can get over that, but for this, we only know one interpretation of Harley, really, because she was invented in the animated series and then has just proliferated from
From the animated series to the video games have just been getting increasingly more over the top. Mm-hmm. So to see them, like, kind of really pull it back could be interesting if they go kind of, like, messed up dark with it like they did with the Joker. That's, like, a really good point that... We all thought the Joker was this, like, giggling, laughing clown, and then they just went super psychotic with it.
Yeah.
So that could be cool. Yeah. I can't picture her doing the Mr. J.
I know, right?
It's just weird to me, but, I mean, weirder things have happened.
That movie's supposed to come out in 2017, maybe. Yeah.
I'll be dead.
2045.
Yeah. Although someone on Twitter pointed out to the other day that we're basically now 5 years away from 2020.
Which is crazy.
How crazy is that?
When they were announcing movies and they were like 2020, I was like, that's so far. That's not that far away.
Oh, I had to do a thing on IGN the other day, and I had to do the math and figure out if the TV show The Wonder Years was on TV today, it would take place in 1994.
That's awesome. They should need to make that show.
What? You're gonna have to explain that.
Yeah, because it's...
So The Wonder Years was like 1988. And then it took place in 1968. The show was on in 88, and it took place in 68. So if the show was on in 2014, it would be 1994, would be this kid's wonder years.
Oh. Kevin, stop playing with your gas.
The 90s.
No, I won't buy you a Sega CD.
All right, now what about this? Computer, let's bring up this photo.
Beep, beep,
what do we think about this, Greg?
She looks awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Who's this?
This is Laurel from Arrow.
Yeah, I don't know, do you watch Arrow?
No. She's Black. Spoilers, everybody. She's taking on the mantle of Black Canary, which we all knew would happen based on episode one, so no big deal. But, yeah, now you get there, and, like, it's... I think she looks way more badass than her sister did in the Black Canary outfit.
She's an absolutely gorgeous actress. I don't remember her name.
Katie Cassidy. She's gorgeous. David Cassidy's daughter. Little trivia for you.
Gorgeous. I think Laurel, her character, is just the worst.
Yeah, Laurel has had a rough go of it.
That's absolutely.
Have you ever watched the show?
I think I've told you guys I've watched like the first five episodes, and everybody was like, "Go back and like get through the next few," and then it gets really, really good. So I will someday. Yeah. Like I'm pretty much out of all my favorite shows are over or ending.
You start watching Supernatural like me.
Oh, I can't do that.
It's only 10 seasons.
That's a lot to unpack when I see something like that. But
Laurel takes
there.
A turn for the worse in season two. And just,
okay.
And you hope this is her path to rebounding, right?
Yeah, but even like the way that I think I'm one or two episodes behind this season, so maybe things are already better. But like even the way that she's trying to like rebound now is just annoying and terrible. Mm-hmm. Whatever, and it's not just me, it's like my wife too. Like whatever she comes on screen, my wife's just like, Laurel.
My girlfriend is the same
suck.
Way.
Yeah. She had a rough go in season two. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt here. As a canary crime fighter, getting trained by a wildcat. Why not?
She's going to give her dad. Arrow she's going to give her dad a heart attack.
I know, right? His pills. Where's his pills, Laurel?
Arrow's much better than The Flash.
Much better.
Yeah.
It's had more time. I like The Flash, though. I'm still behind. I haven't caught up my DVR. I've been traveling a lot.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Real quick before we leave.
Hey, listeners.
Here. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Ish did. Ish is short for Ishmael.
Yeah. A star of The Last of Us.
The Moby Dick joke.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I need some help. My girlfriend, who lives with me, does not like violent video games, especially ones with guns. She was mugged growing up.
Oh. I like how that's the route she went. She could have been a crime fighter.
Yeah. She does not like me playing any games with guns, which hurts since I love Halo, Uncharted, Call of Duty, etc. I do not want to upset her, and I still play them when she's not here, which is also hard since we only have a studio apartment. That's tough for two people living in a studio apartment. I try to squeeze in an hour of Destiny and Call of Duty when I can, but I'm told to turn it off because she gets uncomfortable. What games do you recommend for me to play around her, excluding the obvious Nintendo games? Platform's not a problem. I have almost everything.
Going back to what Brian said about the the Supernatural, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
It says, he says she likes Game of Thrones, vampires, and werewolves. So she's okay with fantasy stuff, not like real world gun stuff, I guess.
Oh, of course.
But
she,
also not
I'm sorry.
Halo.
She, of course, she got mugged as a child by a soldier in an exosuit who took her money with a machine gun and then sprung onto the roof.
Yep.
And a plasma pistol shooting aliens, popping their shields.
I'm more concerned about this relationship.
Exactly.
Period.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yep. When I hear that, it's like, well, I mean, right? Like, this is his hobby. This is something he enjoys. You know, I mean. Like
you guys want to read this one on Super Knockin' Beans?
The GameScoop jokey answer would be like, you got to drop her and play your violent video games. But it's like, nah, you need to have like a real honest, open dialogue with your girlfriend about like,
this
she can't
like
take away this thing that you love.
Honestly,
you also need to respect.
I wonder if this is visually based or this is also sound. Because that's a big problem with shooting games in general is that the noise they make is obnoxious to somebody not playing them.
Sure.
Like, if you're playing GTA or Call of Duty, it's just sirens and screaming, exploding and yelling and guns blaring, and it's horrible. And if you're playing Captain Toad's Treasure Trackers, it's like, and some guy collects a couple of gems and there's
which is,
coins.
Now that you mentioned it, equally annoying.
If it was just Justin and I, it was
no, that's not even an exaggeration.
That's exactly how it sounds, actually.
But that problem is fixed by wearing headphones.
Sure. So I was going to say, like, maybe tiny stopgap, start with that solution, get some surround sound headphones or something, get something to kind of encapsulate it in. But I would also,
that's such a good point. That's really smart. It's like, forget violent video games at all, just you live in a studio apartment. Play games with headphones.
Yeah, with headphones. Like,
and also, can you guys save up a little money and get, like, a one-bedroom? Like, where you can have at least a wall in between you while you're playing games.
If you're looking for some money, GameStop will buy Destiny for $4.
$4.
So, is that true?
I'm sure.
I thought that was a story I missed.
No, I think that's a start. Like, it just and it's also sort of like, I feel like it's mindful of anybody's time when you live in a small apartment. I mean, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, but my wife and I will go in the other room and say, if she's watching something on like Bravo, and every 4 minutes there's that dumb announcer, and it's like, only on Bravo. I'm like, can you turn it down? Because I don't want to hear that. Like, I have triggers where I was robbed by the Bravo guy when I was five. So it's a problem for me.
Which one?
Andy Cohen.
But if we were going to answer his question, what non-violent games would we recommend? I don't know. This year I've been playing a lot of Spelunky, Hearthstone,
Mario
currently
Kart.
Playing Guacamelee. Yeah, Mario Kart's a great game.
The qualifier of not the obvious Nintendo stuff makes it really challenging, actually.
Yeah.
Lego Batman 3.
Yeah, the Lego games are great.
Yep.
I mean, they do have guns, but they're cartoon guns.
Dragon Age
mostly
Inquisition is so
and she gets,
good.
Yeah. If she gets upset game. About that, then she'd be like, well, see, Batman's parents got mugged, and look what he did with his life.
Get an RPG, get Skyrim, get Dragon Age.
We're living in a
You're really
studio.
Hung up on not letting this girl get away with this.
Yeah. I don't like it. Spoiler alert, your relationship's not going to last, probably. It doesn't sound like she's that supportive of you.
Oh, ish.
Sorry, ish.
Bad news for the
That's
ish.
What we're the friends here to tell you. Relationship scoop.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I just think you should tone...
Give me an email.
Tone down your annoying murder games. Nobody wants to hear those things.
That's pretty much what video games...
So she's not supportive of him. Like, what about him being supportive of her and saying, sorry, I won't cause you a panic attack
Well, no,
in
actually,
your own
like,
home.
Like, side note, Justin and I were talking about this, I think, sometime last year, but I forget when we were talking about this, but it was sort of about how, like, the point of most video games
is
to murder something, right?
Yeah.
In some way. Like,
it's all conflict.
Yeah, they're all conflict. It's almost impossible, unless you're talking about, like, puzzle games, to make a game where, like, even in Captain Toad, like, you can throw turnips at guys and kill them, or you can walk off a ledge and stomp on somebody.
Yep.
Like, and it's not the point of the game. You can passively walk around everyone, but... You can kill people in that game.
Well, it's because every game, like a video game by definition, has to be a challenge that you overcome.
Conflict.
And unless it's like deleting blocks and Tetris, like it does need to be some kind of conflict. Even if it's cartoony and family-friendly Disney style like a Nintendo or GTA, they're still based all around that core concept.
Here's my problem and the trigger for me. I try to squeeze in an hour of Destiny and Call of Duty when I can, but I'm told to turn it off because she gets uncomfortable. I'm told to turn it off. Oh, so you're her dog. Great. Just like I tell Portillo not to bark at the door. Like, there needs to be a dialogue, and if there's not a dialogue, there's this is
the layers of the problems that are below the surface.
I totally disagree.
They don't talk to each other.
When you're in
a relationship, you're not like an individual anymore. You're part of a team.
Yeah. Right.
You need to do what's best for the team and advance the team. And like that's how you need to think about it.
Especially if the team is in an apartment.
At no point
the size
am I saying the
couches.
Correct thing is to play games all the time, fuck her. I'm saying they should each talk to each other about it.
Sure.
Not that he should be told to stop playing games and he should feel like, well, what do? I gotta write in, like, talk to her. You're upset about it. She's upset about it. Why aren't we talking? Yeah.
So I had some family members over after my wedding the other day.
Yeah.
And it was like a couple days later, and like my brother and his wife were over, and we were going through the TV and trying to find something on Netflix. And it went past Texas Chainsaw Massacre. My brother's wife was like, can you please change the thing? And we're just like, we're just reading the description. I'm trying to figure out if this is the Toby Hooper Texas Chainsaw Massacre or the new bullshit remake one. And she was like, please get that off the screen. I can't look at that. And we're like, okay. And we changed it. And I was like, oh man, that sucks. He's got to deal with something like that a lot because she just doesn't, she's an aversion to horror movies. Mm. But he shouldn't divorce her. Because of that.
But
it was just something that
if he was in love with horror movies and he had to try to fit them into these small windows or whatever, he would have a conversation about it.
Well, no, then he would have to watch them an hour at a time.
What a way to live.
Anyway, Ish, we hope you can resolve your problem, figure out a way to...
Write in and let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it's going.
In a year, write us in. Let us know.
Six months, maybe.
Yeah.
See if the relationship is still going. I don't know, if you're in like close quarters like that, a handheld device is a good gaming solution, right?
Yeah.
3DS, Vita, an iPad. That way it's just you. It's
that's
just
actually
you
a great
in the
point.
Game, right?
Use remote play, get a Vita.
Yeah.
Get headphones, get a Vita, play Call of Duty all night long, let her change the input to whatever else she wants to watch.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Starring Andy Cohen.
You know what's surprisingly good? I don't think this is on Bravo. Maybe it is on Bravo. MasterChef Junior.
Yeah. Big
it's
fan.
It's so good.
Big Isn't fan. That Fox? I think it's Fox.
These kids are like 8 years old,
they're
and they
amazing.
Make these incredible dishes.
They cook better than people I
it
know.
It makes you feel like such a
adults.
Complete failure.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I cannot do anything remotely that cool.
I mean, I cook a lot, and I watch that show, and I'm like, well, I should just quit, because this child is running circles around me.
MasterChef Junior. It's really good.
Scoop from David Hatfield.
All right, I think that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Greg. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.